May we now be helped to commence our worship of God by singing together hymn 425. Hymn 425. The tune is Cliviger number 20. With pleasure we behold Emmanuel's offspring come, as sheep are gathered to the fold and left no more to roam. The way the shepherd trod, they freely choose to go. Moved by the powerful love of God, they leave this world below. Hymn 425, tune Cliviger number 20.
Open our eyes as we read from his word this morning three portions of scripture. Firstly, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 25 to the end. Then we'll read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 14 to 24, and then from Acts, chapter 8, verse 26 to the end. But firstly, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and we'll begin reading at verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now we'll turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 14 to the end of verse 24. Mark chapter 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, or fearful, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And finally we'll turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 26 to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 26 to the end of the chapter. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and, sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord bless the readings of his holy word unto us, and now help each one of us to pray. O most holy and merciful Lord God Almighty, help us each here now, as we gather together for this occasion, to be given now a desire to pray, to give unto us each that which to pray for, that through this service today, through the ordinance that we will take of believers' baptism, thy name may be glorified, and that thou wilt have all the glory. That we, through our gathering together this morning, may be truly able to worship thee. Dear Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. So much we take for granted every day of our lives. We live in a land of peace. We are living in a land of plenty, where we have much to supply our needs. We have the freedom, we have the liberty to preach thy word unto those that feel led to worship. And Lord, we have those signs that thou art still working in the day in which we live. And Lord, we believe thou art working in the hearts of many at this time. Yet, Lord, we believe there are many that need to be set free, to be given those eyes of faith to lay hold on those promises contained in thy word, and to do as thou hast commanded, as dear Roz before us now hopes to shortly. Lord, we praise thee for thy goodness unto her and to the church here, that they have been given that encouragement, that thou art with them still. So, Lord, may that be our starting point this morning, to be filled with thankfulness for all of thy goodness. And we have each been brought here in peace and safety. And Lord, we pray that as we leave shortly, we may not leave empty, but that something may remain with us as we go home, that we may not have worshipped thee in vain today. Yet, Lord, we have to prove that without thee we can do nothing, nothing that is truly good. And yet, Lord, may we each prove that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Lord, we pray for those with us this morning who may not be accustomed to and understand what these things may mean and why they are so precious unto us. Through the preached word, Lord, we beg that they may understand a little of what is being taking place before them. And we pray especially for the children, the very young ones and the young people, that they may also look on and be given an understanding and may have any fears and worries taken away from them, that they may see thy love through this ordinance, and that we each may feel thy presence in our hearts. And Lord, we acknowledge that we are poor, sinful creatures. We acknowledge that we don't deserve the least of thy goodness. And yet, Lord, may we be able to see this is why we come this morning. We come because we know a little of how holy thou art. We come because we have an understanding that thou art just and will and must punish sin at that great day of judgment. We come because we have an understanding that we have come short of the glory of God. We come because we see the need of the life, death, burial and resurrection of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, may we understand deeply within our own hearts that continuing need of the finished work of thy dear Son being applied to our hearts with power, and the work of thy dear Son that is ongoing, that mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So Lord, come into our midst, we beg, and be with all those causes of truth, those places of worship represented here this morning. What we beg for here, that there will be a great increase, that there will be a mighty work, we pray, Lord, will take place in all places of worship represented here, and up and down this land, wherever thy word is faithfully preached and thy name reverently respected. Lord, we beg and beseech thee in these days of darkness, that thy light may be poured forth throughout this land again. Lord, nothing is too hard for thee, and we lay these things before thee, begging that we will see a day of great revival. Yet, Lord, when we pray these things, may we be aware that days of revival are often accompanied by days of great trouble. And Lord, may we be given that submission, that above all thy name may be glorified. We would pray for those that are unable or are not here with us this morning. Lord, we would remember those in affliction, those who are unwell. We would pray especially for Jabez Rutt and dear Margaret and the family there, with, we believe, Lord, or as man may view it, not many hours or days left as she lies upon her deathbed. Lord, we beg thee, draw near unto her, Comfort the family. Give them that strength as they wait round the bedside. And give them that peace which passeth all understanding. We pray for those, Lord, who could be here but aren't. We pray for those that have no desire any longer to meet together to worship. Oh Lord, we throw no stones at them, for that is where we would have been. But Lord, we humbly beg that thou wilt draw them back, that they may be given that empty void within them, knowing that this world cannot fill it. So Lord, work, we pray, in the hearts of many, that once again, Lord, there may be those days of great prosperity. Lord, we pray for all those here who go forth to preach thy word. Lord, with thy day before them and the burden of it, Lord, do we pray, help them in their meditation and study of the word later on today, that through their attendance at this service, they may be, their meditation and study may not be spoiled, but that it may be strengthened through this poor man's preaching. But Lord, may we, all of us, feel that union one with another today. Lord, do we pray, enable us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We pray that everybody before us may be given those ears to truly hear what is being preached, and that their hearts may be softened, that their innermost being may be softened and receptive to that which is preached, and that it may do them good, give them something to consider, that they may go on their way rejoicing. Lord, and even today, those who are greatly burdened and concerned about walking through the waters of baptism, putting on the open profession of their faith, that through the preached word, through all our service today, there may be something for them. Lord, that we may rejoice and say, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Lord, we humbly beg, empty this poor man of anything that is of myself, that which is needful, and help us to pour it out unto the people, that nothing of self may mar the preached word today. Lord, do stir thy spirit up within us, we beg, that we may not worship in vain today, and do be with each one. We pray once more for Roz before us now, and the dear children, and Stephen, and the wider family. Lord, give them that peace. Help them, we pray. For Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and will be done as thou hast commanded. So Lord, we know thou wilt help us through. Forgive, Lord, all that we have spoken amiss in our prayers, that which we have forgotten to pray for. Lord, may it have been prayed for by those before us now, and our prayers be a united cry unto thee. Do intercede for us, dear Lord Jesus, for we ask all in and through thy precious name. Amen.
May we be helped to continue by singing together hymn number 723. Hymn 723 to the tune Jerusalem Luminosa, number 675. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall, if you tarry, till you're better, you will never come at all. Not the righteous, sinners Jesus came to call. This is a hymn chosen by dear Ross. Hymn 723, tune Jerusalem Luminosa 675.
Need of the Lord to help each one of us this morning, both in preaching and in hearing. I'll ask you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to John, and chapter 14 and verse 15, but I'll read from verse 12 to verse 15. Gospel according to John, chapter 14, as the Lord may help me, I'll try and make a few remarks from verse 15, but we'll read from verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But really, this verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now I will begin this morning by just making a few comments to you children here, and especially Jesse, Pippa and Hugo, as you may wonder what we are doing this morning. And you may have those worries and those thoughts and those concerns as to what your mum is going to go through. But Jesus, when he was on this earth and through the teaching that he made and through his disciples and apostles, commanded that we should do this, that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ must go through this ordinance to remember Jesus Christ's suffering, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And as you love your mum and your dad, you trust what they say to you, don't they? And you try and do and obey them. And so that is what we will try to do this morning. To obey the commands of God. But as we look at this text this morning, it really falls into two sections. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And to those of us who are well accustomed to the Word of God, this is a well-known text. And often with well-known texts, we can skip over the top of them and not truly understand what they mean. And sometimes it helps us to, as we have here, a positive exhortation, to attach to it a negative. So really we could say with this text, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and if you don't love me, don't keep my commandments. If we read it in that way, it becomes, doesn't it, much more severe, much more dividing, much more separating. But dear friends, that is the gospel. And so, as the Lord may help us, let us look particularly this morning at this commandment of baptism. And then, after that, for those to whom it should be.
About 7 minutes of recording was lost at this point.
And secondly, it is necessary. Not necessary for salvation, but necessary for obedience. What we will do in a short while adds nothing to our salvation, but it is obeying what God has commanded us. And what a thought. What a thought. If we are disobedient. So, if it is not necessary for our salvation, but it is necessary for obedience. Really, what does it do for us? It is a sign. It signifies something. And as Jesus, upon this earth, often spoke in parables, he added those pictures, those visual representations, so that we could gain an understanding of what he was saying. And so we have, through the ordinance of baptism and of the Lord's Supper, it is a sign. And what does a sign do? It points to something. It points to something to come. It shows us something. And as we drove here this morning, you would have seen signs to Maidstone. That sign was not Maidstone, but it was pointing to Maidstone. So this sign that we have before us this morning adds nothing to our salvation, but it points us to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And as we may see signs in our day-to-day lives, and as we may travel back to an area which we haven't been to for a long time, we see a sign, and what does it bring back within us? Those thoughts, those memories, that pondering upon what we have experienced. So this ordinance that we have before us, this command, what does it signify? It signifies unto us the death and resurrection. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It signifies to those that partake of it that that death, that burial, that resurrection was for us. It signifies unto us that we are in Christ. We are partaking with him of his sufferings. And therefore we will partake with him in his glory. It points to those things. And what did Paul so often teach in his preaching about being in Christ? It is in Christ that we get that strength. We have that other representation, don't we, in the next chapter of John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. It represents unto us that being brought into Christ, being engrafted into him, joining with him, and therefore partaking of the benefits of him. It's the simplicity, as Paul says, that is in Christ. It is a sign, a representation, and a glorious one. And as we partake of this ordinance later and go through these waters of baptism, may we each consider in our own hearts, are we in Christ? Because you can either be in or out. There is no middle ground. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And if we are engrafted into Christ, if we are in Christ, all those promises in Scripture are for us, are for his people. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All those precious words are for us. And that which baptism signifies can bring back to remembrance that we have partaken of that representation. And therefore those promises are for us. There is that well-known hymn 329, isn't there? How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. How? Upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. In Christ, in him, partaking of his strength. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavour to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. So let us move on to, we have tried to look at what baptism is, what it represents, just briefly, and well, we could speak much on what these things truly mean. But let us now move on to this first part of our text. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So we have who it is that should be taking part in baptism. Those that love the Lord. So the question this morning is to every one of you here, Do you love the Lord? Can you say with the psalmist in Psalm 116, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Why? Because he hasn't given me yet what I deserve. I love the Lord because he has not condemned me. He has not punished me according to what I deserve. He has been faithful. He has been loving. He has provided for me. He has been good to me. He has led me. He has been merciful. If ye love me. But firstly, let us ever remember that we can only love him because he first loved us. That's the only reason. Because before the work of the Spirit begins within the hearts of his people, there is nothing within us by nature that will love the Lord. You will not. You cannot. Because we are so defiled by sin, without the work of the Holy Spirit creating within us that new heart, there will be nothing within us that will have any affection at all for the things of God. Nothing at all. Is that the case with you this morning? Or do you say, I want to love the Lord. I wish I could love him. I desire to love him. But I don't feel I do. Well, if that's how you feel this morning, Have you always felt like that? Have you been like that all your life? Or was there that time when you couldn't care less about coming to a place of worship, couldn't care less about reading the Bible, couldn't be bothered to pray? Has something changed? Is something different? Is there something within you now which has not always been there? Because if that's the case, it's not of yourself. It is the work of Almighty God. We can only love Him because He first loved us. And when that new heart is put within, those new desires are given to the Lord's people, they may be led through many ways. They may be led through things in their lives, through what we would call providence, something which may happen in our lives which brings us to a sudden start and some great difficulty, and we then pray to the Lord when we never have done before. We start seeking, we start asking, we start knocking, we start questioning, we start pondering, we start studying. And then there will be, as the eyes of the Lord's people are further opened, there will be those twin graces of repentance and faith. And those two are inseparable. They are both gifts of God, and the Lord will give them in measure to His people as He sees fit. The Lord will often put in the paths of His people those stumbling blocks where you may think, oh, I cannot be a child of God because I have not experienced this. I've read that so and so in their testimony had that great wealth of repentance or such faith, and that's just not me. We have many cases in Scripture of those whose hearts were changed. We have Saul of Tarsus, who was cut down on the road to Damascus, who was brought to his wit's end, and many others. But we also have the Lydias, whose heart the Lord opened. We have many, dear friends, for our instruction, that none may despair. The Lord will give what is necessary for you to lay hold on Him by faith. You know, and what does that word repentance mean? I think sometimes it can be put across that it means that we must have a great deep understanding of what vile, wretched, hell-deserving sinners we are, and we must literally be dangled over the pit of hell. Well, that's not what the word repentance means. That word repentance really means a turning around, a change of mind. And yes, that may involve great deep works of conviction of sin, but it might not. It might not. But what it will mean is that your heart has been changed. Your affections will have been changed. That which you long after will have been changed. You will have been turned. That may have been many, many decades ago. It may have been an imperceptible turning. You may not be able to point to the day, the sermon, the passage that turned you round. But have you been turned? Has there been that true repentance? And repentance is mixed with faith. Because if there is a turning, there'll be a turning from something to something else. And if it is true repentance, it will be a turning from the things of the world unto Christ. And therefore, if you are looking to Christ, the only way that you can truly look is by faith. That is why We read that portion in Acts chapter 8. What do we read there about that man? We read firstly, don't we, in verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. That man could have been reading anything. That man could have been reading all sorts of books. But his heart had been changed. His heart had been turned to seek the Lord. And yet, that wasn't enough, was it? Because, yes, although he was reading, Philip, when he joined him, said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? The eunuch here, in a way, had a knowledge of the things of God. But he needed a deeper knowledge. How can I, except some man should guide me? And what did Philip do? He preached unto him. And what did he preach? He preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him the gospel. He laid before Philip simply who Philip was, a servant of the Lord, who the eunuch was, a sinner. He laid before the eunuch his need of a saviour. And he laid before the eunuch the way through faith. The eunuch, we then see, had a desire to be baptised. And you know, as I look out upon you here this morning, I believe there are those of us, those of you before me here this morning, who have that desire to be baptised. Who gave you that desire? Your heart was changed. Was there that time when you wanted to have nothing to do with it? But like the eunuch here, you desire to be baptized. Why? Because you feel something within. You know something within. The Lord, you humbly hope, has worked in your heart. What hindered the eunuch to be baptized? What was Philip's answer? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And I hear you answer me, well, here's my problem, because I don't believe him with all my heart. My heart is still taken up with so much else which it shouldn't be taken up with. I wish I could love the Lord with all mine heart, but I can't, so I cannot be baptized. You may feel your love to be imperfect. You may feel your love to be insufficient, but so do I. It's the object of our love. It's the sincerity of our love. It's the desire of our love that matters, dear friends. It is that love through faith to look unto Jesus, our only hope of salvation. And that is what the eunuch said. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe if we saw more of the eunuch's teaching, I believe he would have said, with that dear man in the other portion that we read, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And you'll never get above that point either, dear friends. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Because the more we see of God, the more we have revealed unto us who we are and who God is, the more we will feel our insufficiency. We will come in with the hymn writer, "Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore." Because we'll see more and more and more how much we need this Saviour. How much we do. You know that dear man with that ill son. He had faith. "I believe," he said, "help thou mine unbelief." Our strength is not in the quantity of our faith or the quality of our faith. The strength of our faith is in the object of our faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the strength is, in the object of faith. We have that hymn, don't we, number 278. "Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would, but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee." But do you believe at all? You do, don't you? You do believe that your only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that is the only way to salvation. You believe, yes, that you are undeserving. But are you being drawn by his love to prove that we love him because he first loved us? And if we love him, we must keep his commandments. There will be in your heart that felt need of him. You will feel drawn unto him. That's how dear Roz before us has been led. She has been drawn. Her affections have been changed. Her eyes have been opened to lay hold on this precious Jesus by faith. She feels unworthy. I feel unworthy. Her faith, she feels, is weak. I feel my faith is weak. But it's Christ that is strong. And that is who we look to. Drawn by that love. And if you, dear friend, are striving for perfection, if you are striving for something else, maybe you are saying this morning, "I haven't been given a word to be baptized." Well, okay. Where does it say in Scripture that we need a word to be baptized? We need faith to be baptized, not a word. We need faith. And yes, that faith may be given by our eyes being opened to a word. But are you laying down lines for the Lord to work in rather than following his basic, clear commands? We have just sung that hymn, haven't we? "Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Not the righteous, sinners Jesus came to call. Those sinners who feel to be oh so insufficient and unworthy. If you strive for perfection, you'll never get it, and you will never come." And lastly, we read, didn't we, that short portion in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And really, the word that was upon my mind was that 28th verse, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And yet I fear there are many that get this text the wrong way round. They think this text reads like such: I will give you rest, then you can come unto me. But it doesn't say that, does it? Come unto me, how? By faith. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, those that feel their need of him, and I will give you rest. That's where the rest is. That's where the comfort is. That's where the peace is, in following Christ, as faith is given to believe in him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that what you're looking for this morning? Is that what you're desiring? That rest, that peace, that comfort. That peace is gained by coming unto Christ. As your eyes are open, as you are drawn by his love, you feel that compelling, that change within you to lay hold upon him by faith. You may say, well, what if I'm wrong? What if I don't love the Lord? Well, if you don't love the Lord, then our text this morning is clear. Don't follow his commandments. Leave him. Abandon him. Can you? No, you can't. Why can't you? Because you feel your need of him. And all the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Well, you may say, and you may have been expecting me to say much on the way that the Lord has led Roz to this point this morning. But do you know what was a great stumbling block to her? It was her judging her experience by the experience of others. Now, there can be much benefit from looking at one another's testimonies and prayerfully considering them. There is nothing wrong with it at all. And rather, me read portions of Roz's testimony to you, what we will do is sing it in our last hymn. Because through God's providence, Roz was brought to much prayer over various matters. Through that, she was given a changed heart. She was given those new desires, those new loves, those new longings, which she never had before. She had that felt need given unto her. And she had her eyes opened to see that that little faith was a great faith. Whene'er I make some sudden stop, for many such I make, and cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take, I to my Saviour speed my way to tell my dubious state. Then listen what the Lord will say and hope to follow that. Confirmed by one soft secret word, I seek no further light but walk, depending on my Lord, by faith and not by sight. of friends and counsellors bereft. I often hear him say, decline not to the right or left, go on, lo, here's the way. Weak in myself, yes, weak in yourself, you may feel you are. In him I'm strong, his spirit's voice I hear. The way I walk cannot be wrong, if Jesus be but there. If ye love me, keep my commandments. As we draw our thoughts to a close this morning, maybe you feel to be like John Newton. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I desire to be. I am not what I need to be. But I know I am not what I once was. And why is that? It's the work of the Spirit within your hearts. So, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Follow them. Do what he has told you to do. Has the Lord spoken to you? Do you love him? If so, dear friends, we have a clear commandment before us, which one will now shortly pass through. May we not leave this place this morning without giving a due consideration to our obedience. We have many dry Baptists, if there can be such a thing. We have many, I humbly believe, who need to walk this way. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Amen.
I just say that after we have sung this hymn with the friends, please remain standing. Hymn 812 to the tune of Grosvenor 154. Hymn 812, we sing the whole hymn, but I'll read verses 4, 6 and 7, which are Rosaline's pathway. Confirmed by one soft secret word, I seek no further light, but walk dependent on my Lord, by faith and not by sight. Weak in myself, in him I'm strong. His spirit's voice I hear. The way I walk cannot be wrong, if Jesus be but there. He is my helper and my guide. I trust in him alone. No other helps have I beside. I venture all on one. Hymn 812, tune Grosvenor 154.
Dear Roz, it has indeed been a pleasure to hear your testimony of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is now a pleasure to shortly take you through the waters of baptism. And it has been of much concern to me what words to give you at the poolside. Sometimes they can seem almost prophetic, but may this prove to be a practical word to you. And the word I feel I must give to you is in that chapter of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verses 16 and 17. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Rather than a word, may I give unto you the whole Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which will protect you. And may you be enabled through your life, of which this is just a step of faith, to be able to take the shield of your faith. And although there will be those times, and there must be those times, when you feel that shield of faith is so small, yet if that shield is held up by faith, it will and it must repel the fiery darts of the wicked. And those verses of that hymn number 795 have been much upon my mind. Mighty enemies without, much mightier within. Thoughts we cannot quell or rout, blasphemously obscene. But it's these, and these are the big ones in the mind of the hymn writer. Coldness, unbelief, and pride. We need to be kept warm. We need to be kept believing. And we need to be delivered from pride. But, dear Roz, we build upon a base that nothing can remove when we trust, electing grace and everlasting love, victory over all our foes. Christ has given with his blood. Perseverance he bestows on every child of God. And as we just sung those closing words in that hymn, you have proved that he is your helper and your guide, and we now trust in him alone. And you know and I know, no other helps have we beside. We venture all on one. So let us go down into the water together.
Dear us,
upon the profession of your faith, oh, and how little faith we may feel to have, but on the profession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Done.
as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Let us pray. O dear Lord, it has been done as thou hast commanded, and dear us here has been given that obedience, has been given that faith to obey thy word. So, Lord, we know, because thou hast promised, that thou wilt never leave her or forsake her. And Lord Jesus, thou art indeed the author and the finisher of our faith. So, Lord, what thou hast begun, thou wilt continue. And may those who have been looking on this morning ponder that which has been done in thy name. Lord, we praise thy holy name for thy goodness unto us and to this church here. Thy work is continuing, and may it yet continue. Take us now as we go to our homes in peace, whether the journey be long or short. And take us each, we pray, to our heavenly home, whether the journey be long or short. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain and abide with us for now and evermore. Amen.